Thanks for joining us this evening at the Holy Ghost Calling webpage. Brother Freedom's here, and God's given him some scripture, and the Holy Spirit's Holy Ghost is going to guide him. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful goodness. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And Mike, if you'll come and read some scripture for us.
This is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Thank you. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you'll bless us this day in Jesus' name. We pray for a mighty anointing. Touch your people. And Father, for that dear couple that called in a couple days ago, Father, I just make that healing complete this day for them this night. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. If my people, which are called by my name, you know, really, that's what all Christians are supposed to be. We should be the heir of God. See, this is to the people when Solomon, this is to the Israelites, but God's ministry is twofold. Whatever was then works today before you use it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. God's saying there's a process that he wants his people to endeavor in. And I think that's why I got as far as I have, because I want you to know that I am nothing. But I think that's why, because this is what I remember it now. I used this scripture. I thought, well, that's good for them, it's good for me. So that's when I started praying. God will not force us to be humble. We need to do it or we don't do it. And humility is really something special, because 40, 50 years ago, the old Pentecostals knew about it. They called it out dying out to self. This dying out to self is you actually humble yourself. Because Jesus says, seek ye first his kingdom, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Until we humble ourselves, we're not putting him first. We're sort of fitting in with what we do. We don't make no real extreme efforts to try to serve God. Now, I have to say, when I first started out, that's the way I was too. And I imagine if we're all truthful, we've all been there. But God wants to start growing to his knowledge. See, when we came in this world, we all have to be truthful. All we knew, basically, for a while, is our parents, our mother, and our father. And through them, these that have their Christian background, they brought us into a light that we all should be thankful for. At least we went someplace where the Bible was read and explained somewhat, because it's for our betterment. There's thousands of people that never had this, and I've had that privilege. And when we accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, at that time, there should be a driving within us that wants to know our parent. See, the Bible says that we're, like my son, he was adopted. And we've been adopted in through the blood of Jesus that picked us up out of nowhere, all of us were. And he saved us from an everlasting destruction that was set before us. And he did it because he so loved us. And we, as in return, need that. He wants us to love him that same way. We don't have to do this, but he wants us to, that we will do these principles after we come to know him, that we just don't go to church, basically, and this is all it is. God wants us if my people, which are called by name, shall humble themselves and pray, humble themselves and prayer go together. Because I believe when we pray, there's a dedication that takes in our heart that we start seeking. The next word says it, and seek my face. God wants to seek him. Seek ye the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. These are all seeking. That's seeking is, that's the first steps of our life. We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves to the place that I need a Savior. I need to have a different outlook on life that I have. I need my direction changed. And not just for a second, but permanently. Because I want to go to the one that has saved me, Jesus. So when we start in that driving in that direction, the Bible says if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. So then we put that together, what God's given us. We humble ourselves, we pray him, and we seek the Lord to a new direction, till we start doing the things that make us start growing in the Lord. All of us, we don't have to have a shining light, don't have to have the Holy Spirit basically as an audible voice like later, but you start out with just taking heed the things that you heard. How do you do that? By reading the Word. By studying it. By taking some time every day that I'm going to endeavor my day, that my day will be focused on God. There was a time in my life when the Lord told me to tithe myself. That was 2 hours and I think 40 some minutes a day or something like that, reading the Word. But I didn't read it like most people. I just ate it. And the Lord told me to do it that way. And that means I wasn't out there trying to find out what this means. Just get it in my spirit. Just take it in. That old cow, when you give her the hay, she don't sit there and say, were you giving alfalfa? No, she eats it. Well, that's what I did to the Word. I just ate it. And that Word become life, and I can see why God said that, because it becomes where you don't argue about it no more. You just know it's good. See, everything in life, we're on a competitive basis. We compete in the marketings. We compete on the job fields. Who's the best mechanic? Who's the best this? In those positions, some of us never get, but some of us, that makes us where we can obtain a job. Because it's very competitive. And this is the way the Word of God is. We should seek God because God wants us to be competitive in Him. We need to compete with the Lord. And it's hard for us to compete unless we have Him in us. Now, how do I get more out of Him than just reading the Word of God? He says, call unto me, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Well, how does a baby grow? We grow. All of us start as a baby, but I ended up high school. But some people went to college, some beyond that. Keep learning. Those are competitive steps that better the person that's doing it. What is our motive for seeking God? Shouldn't be a selfish altogether. It should be something that we would want to please God. In Colossians, the first chapter, that we might please the Lord, walk the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened, increasing in the knowledge of God. So I'm going to stop with Colossians right there. But increasing, we can all do that. Just apply ourselves to the Word of God. Take heed to things that we've heard, lest any time we should let them sit. We're like a light, shining light that shines more and more to that most perfect day. So the more that we take God's Word in, we're going to start shining. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. We can't shine very, most of us, unless we have the Word within us. And then, once we get to start the Word in it, then God can come down to our heart. We start praying and seeing that we get deeper. It's just up to us how much we want to get with God. Most everybody, I would say, that people I see, all they want to know is just just enough to, I don't get very close to the Lord. I mean, you know, that you don't, we don't want no kind of those kind of people around us. That's what most people are. You start seeking God and you're a misfit. You're they let you know that that's not the proper thing to do. Pastors included. I've been told that from time, but I didn't believe it. Because the Bible does not say it. The Bible says that we need to walk and talk with God. We're to have an experience with God. With God. Kamashita Mokoma, the glory of God is greater than the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things in the world. Any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what's that trying to tell me? That means God made this world, but we should not get so engulfed in it. We love it so much that we love it and leave God out of the picture. We should start be growing the other way, whereas we can, I can get more depth. I'm going to get closer to God. He says, draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. But if we start going, we're going to encounter ourselves having some activity from the adversary, the enemy. He comes in to kill, destroy, and to steal. He comes to take away your experience, the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes in. If you've had a good day, he don't want you to have no more good days. He wants you to be have sick. He wants you to be irritable. He wants you to be selfish. He wants you to fret. He wants you to be all the things that God wants us to be. He don't want us to be. He wants the opposites. And we've got at that point, before we get very far, we run into his little ugly hand. So we need that age very shortly that he gives us troubles. And I believe he brings on sickness. He brings on troubles. And God's bigger. Greater is he that's in you as he is in the world. So 21, when you accept Jesus, we have our big brother that came down, Jesus, and he's got a big helper, the Holy Ghost, that will help us to hate us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge. My refuge. My fortress. My God. And him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and noiseless pestilence. Under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. It goes on down, thou shalt not be afraid. And we're going to, when we start, it doesn't take long. We find out there's some pluses in knowing our Heavenly Father. He's the author of every good and perfect gift. The enemy is the opposer of the brethren. He's the opposer of those that love righteousness. He wants you to be troubled. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to walk in unbelief. He wants you to walk in no faith. He wants you to walk opposite. He wants you to walk in fear. When you're in faith, you don't fear. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Here tonight, I hope everybody out there can grasp that. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Be ye strong in the Lord and in the power of might. How do you do that? By starting back where I was telling you. If my people, they don't get strong automatically, but they start as they start growing into it, then they come to place that they can flex those muscles. I've been in, since I got sick a couple years ago, I've been working in a gym every day, basically. But it helps you to give you a foundation to be able to just get up in this world. If you're not in shape, you're no help to yourself. You're no help for nobody. And the same as we have to stay in shape in this world, We have to stay in shape with God. The glory of God keeps us in shape in heaven, in heavenly places. Bible says that exercises profit a little, but God profits us in all things. Our condition of our body is just temporal. But what we do for the Lord is going to reach out. It's going to be lasting. If we don't make it, it's going to be a lasting reward the other direction. And if we go God's way, we've got something wonderful, something beautiful. But it's written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that are prepared to them that love God. But God hath revealed them by the Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searches yea the deep things of God. The Spirit, I found out, is the big part that us as believers need in this life. It's something that you can't force people. It's like reading the Word. You can't tell somebody you need to read the Word. But if you read it, you're going to find out it's very satisfying. And that's what the Spirit is, very satisfying. It'll help you. It'll promote you. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you. It'll help you in times of trouble. And you don't have to be afraid, you, because you've got the greatest helper of all. He lives within you. Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why do you say Holy Ghost? Because we are the temple. When He's in here, I'm okay. When He's not there, I better be start worrying. He is the reason. But Jesus made it so when Jesus came down, because through the greatness of Jesus, He became the supreme sacrifice that made all this work. And He's at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us with groanings. That's Jesus. And that same nuts making groanings and helping us and giving us His Spirit here, He's going to come back in like manner, and we're going to be leaving this place very shortly, and we need to be prepared, being read up, stayed up, encouraged up in the Spirit of God. Because it's forever and ever and ever. You know, I was going to use two people's names here, but nobody knows them anyway. But anyway, I can get some other names. Jack and Martha, they wanted to, their son, when he got 21 years old, they wanted to really, they had all the money, not all the money, but they had enough money. So they wanted to really put on a great shindig. You know what a shindig is? That's something pretty extravagant. Sort of wonderful. So they decided, well, our son deserves it. So all the people in this whole vicinity, we're going to tell them they don't have to worry about working. They don't have to do anything. They just, it's over with. Because we're going to have such a shindig for our son, because we love our son that much. See, that's what God's done. He loves us so much. But He loves His son so much. The Bible says, Father loves His son and giveth him all things he hath. He that believeth on the son hath life. He that believeth not on the son shall not have life. And the wrath of God shall be upon him. The wrath of God shall be upon him, because if you don't receive the son, you don't receive God's gift. And see, that's what's taking place right now. You know, all the churches, you know what they should be doing? They should be saying, hey, we're waiting for Jesus. We're just waiting for the coming. No, nobody said anything about that. See, the Bible says we cannot be saved unless the Spirit draws us. The Lord told me Himself at that time it's being cut off. But He don't say there's none out here that said, hey, I've got an extravagant meeting. Jesus is coming back. No. They don't think about that. See, that's where we're going to miss it. I've been wondering all this time I had the Holy Spirit. That's part of it, but it's not it. Because we're missing that special meeting. The Bible says if we miss that special meeting, we miss it all. That's why that many are called and few are chosen. Many are called for this great. See, when I went up quite a few years ago, but I remember And we was going up in the air. It was so wonderful. I said, when I woke up, I was laughing. It was so happy. But you know what frightened me? Wasn't many, many people there with us. God's been saying that's more and more the same thing that's going to happen. If he come this week, I bet you say there's not two people come a sheet of book that put him first. Jesus, I'm just saying what the word says. The disciples went to Jesus and said, what shall your coming be? He says, well, there's going to be perilous times. But he says, still not there. But when all my word is preached to all the corners of the earth, he says, I'm coming soon. And when over in Jerusalem, when it's ready, and that's Jerusalem being ready, they say the Jews can't even have Jerusalem now. So God's coming back very soon. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised between now and the first year that's coming. Where's God's people? Where's all those that Jesus saved? They should be glorious. Say, Jesus, we just love you so much. How come I let go? Oh, we're so busy out here. Oh, we got to get our Sunday school up. We got to do this and that. I'm serious what I'm saying. Because God has been speaking to me about this. I'm very careful what I say unless the Lord speaks with me. But he let me know this week. This is what really concerned him. And this is why the problem is. Because they're not seeking the Son. The Son is what had this all happen because of the Son. And yet, everybody's out here trying to get people saved when the Bible plainly says you cannot be saved unless the Spirit draws them. The coming of the Lord is coming. Knowing the time, now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. You know, I ran out of breath the other day and I thought, Lord, but God just give me enough to that last time. I believe it's coming very shortly. See, he gave me a promise that I'd see it. And I had a dream. And I remember your brother here, and I was in a meeting that morning. I went home. I was at home, and I was wide awake at about 6:45. And I had to leave at 7. But in that 15 minutes, I had a dream. And that dream was, and everywhere I went, God gave me this great, big, beautiful, extravagant vehicle. It was glorious, but nobody seen it. I could see it. Everybody went, we don't need nothing you got. Just leave us alone. And they was eating, and I don't know, you know what latrines are? But that's a terrible place. Restrooms. They was eating in the restrooms. There was filth, degradation. But God showed me that was where they was at. So finally at the end of it, and I'm not trying to be selfish, but I'm just telling you exactly what the dream said. The Lord says, well, it's time for you to go. Hopefully, yeah, some of those made it. I don't know. I left my, so I hopefully, bunches of them go. But I know for me, never will forget it. Such a rough terrain there at the last of it. My driver, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, told me, he said, you're going to have to walk up this last by yourself. I got up there. There's a knothole. The Lord says, pull all your clothes on. Pull your glasses on. Because you're going to have to go through that knothole. And so I pulled all my clothes off and I was in eternity. Just that fast. I'm telling you exactly, I'd be afraid to lie. It's exactly as God gave it to me. God is coming back. He's bringing a great, extravagant, glorious party. the party of all parties. But old church, where are you? Where are you? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. You know, that was that wicked way. I had trouble with that myself. But I can say right now, I am an overcomer. And out there tonight, anyone that wants to be, if you can, your past is history if you know Jesus today. God wants to forgive you. God wants to give you a new entrance to heaven. And the pearly city is coming. Oh, beautiful. The pearly white city. Oh, come on. The glory of God is coming down to bless us. The young people are so afraid. But it's going to be terrible when God withdraws His Spirit. Then you know what to be afraid of, because there will be starvation. The dollar will not go very far. There'll be sickness, heartaches, people taking their lives, these kind of things. And then the Antichrist will come and say, hey, if you don't take the mark of the beast, I'm going to take your life. That's what you got to look forward to. And it could be tomorrow. We need to be prepared. The churches will not hear this. The Lord told me, He says, don't worry about it. I said, Lord, this is crazy. Why can't they see it? It's so simple. After He says, yes, but they're blinded. The Bible talks about, in the first chapter of Romans, you read it, the blindness. You go to the Ephesians, fourth chapter, it talks about the blindness. The blindness is when we cannot no longer see. We don't have that connection with heaven. Open our eyes that we might see the glory, that we might be filled with His precious love, that we'd be saturated. Oh, glory to God, the love of God that fills and thrills and excites us. I just feel tonight, just out there, if you miss heaven, it's going to be bad, because you're going to be here through a time of troubles, of heartaches. Daniel say a day of never been seen before. And Daniel also predicts at this time there'll be a lot of traveling and a lot of knowledge. Look at the two. They've both grown. People can't write all the books that's got to be written about what's happened. And they can't. All the planes, the travel. 100 years ago, it was a distance to go from here to the next town. Well, now we think nothing about it. Because things have expanded, that man's has, and that's what keeps man tied up, because our minds is on the things of the world. And it's good people, but they're not looking at what's happening. God bless you all.
Thank you, Father, for your presence today, and we pray that this message will touch the hearts of people all around the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.